Well, since I'm on a roll, I might as well preach. When Pastor Dave asked me to preach a few weeks ago, it occurred to me that most of you might not know me, who my background, or a bit about who I am. So before we get into our scripture reading this morning, I want to introduce you a little bit to the Anderson family. First off, they say that behind every good man is a great woman, and that is certainly the case in my case. And the lady, Julie, that stands next to me in the worship group every Sunday has been my wife for 48 years, and she does so much behind the scenes, both here at the church as we get ready to worship together, but in my home as well. And I'll tell you the truth, I would be lost without her. But we also have two children, Molly, who lives in San Diego with her husband and three girls, and Taylor, our son, who lives in Huntington Beach with his wife and three girls, and you are quick. You figured out already that we have six granddaughters, and they stair-step in age from 8 to 15. In 2017, I retired from ministry in the Church of the Nazarene for 41 years. Most of those years, I served as executive pastor. That's the guy who runs the operations of the church and is the senior pastor's right hand. A few of those years, I served as a worship pastor. I served in churches across the United States, Oregon, Washington, Michigan, Washington, D.C. area, California, Texas, back to Oregon, back to Texas, and ended my full-time career in an 11-year pastorate at Pasadena First Church of the Nazarene as executive power. That was it. As executive pastor. But such is the life of a pastor in the Church of the Nazarene. I knew what I was getting into, however, as my father was a pastor. Actually, I come from a long line of Levites. My grandfather, my dad, aunts and uncles, cousins, as well as some of my siblings, have all served in full-time ministry as either pastors or missionaries, as apparently we have no other marketable skills. When I retired, we started looking for a church to attend, something we never got to do when I was in ministry. We attend 8 different churches in the valley, and when we attended here, it checked a lot of the boxes for us. We enjoyed pastors preaching. There was a music program that we felt like we could contribute to, and the intergenerational approach the church had adopted was very attractive to us as well. And we've been happy to call PDCPC home now for the past 3.5 years. Well, with that out of the way, let's take a look at our scripture for today. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, and it reads this way. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli the priest. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went back and lay down. Again the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." I'm not sure he said it with that kind of attitude, but anyway. Then Eli realized that it was the Lord that was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." This is the word of God for the people of God. And together we say, thanks be to God. In 1 Samuel that we just read, chapter 3, Samuel is called to serve the Lord. And at this time in history, hearing from the Lord was a rarity. And God was giving no visible signs of his presence. This time in Israel's history is one of despondency, hopelessness, and despair. God is not speaking. God is silent. God's voice is quieted because of Israel's sin. But something different is observed as we read. God rushes in with his tender grace to speak to a boy. Such tenderness of his grace comes one evening while young Samuel is sleeping, and God speaks. Samuel is awakened by the voice of the Lord. He thinks Eli is calling him, and three times in this narrative, Samuel appears before Eli saying, "Here I am," because he mistakes God's voice for the voice of his teacher. It takes three times before Eli realizes that the Lord is speaking. Then Eli, in verse 8, teaches Samuel to listen to the Lord. He perceives the Lord is calling young Samuel and provides a valuable lesson on the way each of us should respond. Eli says to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" Samuel's response should be ours: "Speak, for your servant hears." And so God continues his visitation and communication with Samuel, and he reveals to Samuel his future work in the nation and how God's mighty discipline will end Eli's life. These are sobering words for an available servant to hear, but Samuel continues to be obedient to the Lord's voice. So as I mentioned earlier, I grew up in the parsonage. My dad had pastored in Washington, Oregon, in Watsonville, California, the artichoke capital of the world, and also my birthplace, and in Fresno. When I was 2.5 years old, my father was called to be the pastor of the First Church of the Nazarene in Oakland, and so we moved to the Bay Area, where he served until I was 16. One evening, while we were gathered around the dinner table, my dad casually mentioned that he had been contacted about becoming the senior pastor of the church in Honolulu, Hawaii. Now, as an 11-year-old kid, this was the best news ever. Hawaii was heaven on earth. What kid wouldn't want to go and live in Hawaii? I went to bed that night dreaming of hula girls in grass skirts, surfing at Waikiki Beach, and all the other stuff an 11-year-old kid dreams about. It became clear to me that it was going to be necessary for me to help in this decision-making process. And so I asked my dad a couple of times a day if he'd made any decision about Hawaii. I mean, this went on for about 5 days or so. And one day after school, my dad came home early. I quizzed him as to where we stood on the issue of Hawaii and my future plans. He said that he was waiting to hear the voice of the Lord. And so I asked him, "Well, when do you expect to hear the voice of the Lord?" He said, "Well, that's the reason I'm home early today. I'm going downstairs to my study to pray about it." This was great news. We were on the cusp of striking this great deal with God. But it had been about 5 days, and God seemed to have a little trouble getting through to my dad. And this was concerning to me. What if my dad just wasn't listening? What if God was whispering it so softly that he couldn't hear it? I mean, he was over 40. Surely he was starting to lose his hearing. So my dad went downstairs to pray. Now, our house in the Oakland Hills was two levels stacked on one on top of one another. The heating vent in the living room was right on top of the vent to my dad's study. And to my way of thinking, the Lord needed some help in getting through to my dad. And so I got down on my knees, not to pray, but I got down on my knees and put on my best God voice and said, "Marley Anderson." My dad's name was Marley. "This is the Lord. Hawaii calls." No response. "Marley Anderson, this is the Lord. Hawaii calls." And about that time, I hear, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Needless to say, we didn't go. But I rest easy in knowing I did my best. Well, listening for the voice of the Lord. So how do we do that? What are the keys for hearing the true voice of God and not some 11-year-old kid hollering down the heating duct? What are some ways that you can distinguish the voice of the Lord? But before we get into the how-tos, we have to come face to face with the fact that God wants, even longs, to speak to you. You were made for fellowship with God. He wants to have a close relationship with you. It's within the context of fellowship with Him that He wants you to discern His will for your life as easily and intelligently as in any conversation with a friend. The key being in relationship. Developing a relationship, a friendship with God, is not unlike making good friends out of acquaintances. It takes time. You spend time with those people. You eat together. You play games together. You do stuff together. And so it is. You need to spend time with God for your relationship with Him to grow. Ask Him what changes you need to make in your life to draw closer to Him. He'll point them out. And you can make those changes and make sure that you're in right relationship with God. Through the centuries, theologians have developed spiritual practices that have helped folks in discerning the voice of the Lord. Let me suggest some of the practical tips for hearing the voice of the Lord and responding to His word. First of all, there's scripture reading. The practice of reading and absorbing the scriptures, resulting in memorization, reading, reciting, and responding with the intention for the mind to remember and to be renewed in spiritual growth. We can read examples of this in Psalm 19, where it says talk about the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul, and it ends with, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." There's Matthew 4:4. "Man does not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And James 1:25, where he says, "But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." The second is meditation. It's the practice of hearing God's voice through the scripture and training your mind to apprehend and being willing to respond in obedience to the revelation given to you through active memorization of God's word. In Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 is a great example of this idea. "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. And the result of meditating on God's law, he is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers." The third is prayer. It's the practice of coming before God, speaking, and having a conversation so that you and others can benefit from God's divine provision and receive a measure of grace in order that needs will be met and hearts awakened to God's presence. The fourth is journaling. Here's a practice of writing personal thoughts, remembrances, revelations, experiences, concerns, and meditative responses so that you have experienced in the things that you have experienced in reading and are digesting in God's Word. Fasting is number five. This one's hard for us, and by us, I mean me. It's the practice of temporarily abstaining from certain appetites such as food, entertainment, and other daily habits for the purpose of sacrifice in order to concentrate fully on spiritual truths. Number six is Sabbath rest. It's a period of resting from one's labor or work as commanded in Scripture, and using that time for worship, sleep, and reflection on God's sovereign work in creation. Sunday is usually considered our Sabbath day of rest, but less important is the day than the doing. Number seven is practicing His presence. This is when you practice experiencing and recognizing God's voice through His invisible presence and provision in all of life, and acknowledging His control over its every facet as you endeavor to live and work on earth. Okay, so put your mind to rest. This is not a seven-point sermon, but let me highlight just a few of these key principles in a way that might be helpful to you. Let's talk about the Scripture. Have you been reading through a passage of Scripture in the Bible? When this particular passage just seems to jump off the page, it's written in bold-faced type, your heart beats a little faster when you read it. Have you experienced that? That's God speaking to you through His Word. When you sit down to read a passage, pray that God will make the words come alive to you. And remember, He wants to speak to you, communicate with you, reveal Himself to you. So before you delve into the Word, prayerfully ask Him to speak, stir your thoughts, and illuminate your mind. Doing this on a regular basis is another key to hearing His voice consistently. Some of us set aside a particular time. Some of us call it daily devotions. I mark my Bible, making notes and underlining passages where I believe God is speaking to me. Others keep journals to remember the things that God reveals during times of prayer and Scripture reading. But whatever form is good for you, whatever form that is, it's the doing that's the main thing. Prayer is another way to hear the voice of the Lord. Our minds are constantly bombarded with thoughts. We've got our to-do list, this project, that social date we need to keep, the upcoming appointment, dinner reservations, grandkids, taking out the trash, and all of that occurs in a split second. How do you get settled enough, clear your mind enough, to even begin to think about listening? It's through prayer. Channeling those thoughts and meditating on Scripture sets you up for a meaningful prayer time. And I have to confess to you that there have been times when I have done this, and as I have settled in, I have promptly fallen asleep. Evidently, God knew I needed a nap. Jesus took naps, and I want to be like Jesus. Another way that you can discern God's voice is in this process of prayer. You'll hear God speaking through your thoughts. He'll bring to your mind so that you know how to proceed, changes you need to make in your life, and more. Remember that prayer is a two-way conversation. You've got to stop talking long enough to listen to what He might say. And through experience, you can learn to recognize God's voice when He speaks and to confidently respond to what He says. You're learning to recognize God's voice above all others. There may be times when you're not praying that the Holy Spirit will impress His word on your mind. even while you're in conversation with someone else. In one assignment that I had, I felt that the Lord was bringing that time to a close at that church. A church in Oregon had been talking with me about joining their staff, and it was looking pretty good, and I felt like this is the direction that we were going to head. One afternoon, my assistant buzzed my office and told me that there was someone on the phone that wished to speak to me. She said his name, and it vaguely rang a bell, but I didn't know him. I picked up the phone, and he introduced himself and told me that they were looking for a staff member and that my name had come up in conversation and wondered if I would be interested in talking about making a move that direction. The more he spoke, I was getting my no thank you speech ready. I was in deep conversation with this other church, and it seemed like the right thing to do. And just as I was about to launch into my, it was so nice of you to call, but no speech, the Holy Spirit snapped his fingers and said, hey, listen up, pay attention. You need to think about this. And so I did. It was the right move at the right time to the right place, not only for me, but for my family as well. Sometimes you get an almost audible voice of the Lord in some situations. And when you do, listen up. When you believe you hear the voice of the Lord, does what you're hearing square with tradition, or translated, what you already know about God? God will never send you a message that contradicts the Bible's principles. He will never ask you to act outside what he has already said through Jesus' life, through his teaching and his example. Sometimes it's good to bounce what you're hearing with your mentor or trusted friend. In the old days, we used to call this godly counsel. Go to your mentor or to your trusted friend who also has a relationship with Christ and tell them what you've been thinking about. You never know. God may have been preparing them to give you good counsel. You'll feel confirmed in your spirit if what you're thinking really is of God. So keep your ears open. Be someone who's actively listening for the voice of the Lord speaking to you, as well as to the people around you. Like Eli encouraged Samuel, let's encourage others to also say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Now, in case you were wondering if we ever moved to Hawaii, let me tell you the rest of this story. Fast forward 30 years later, my dad was asked to be the pastor at that same church, and this time he went. And so I've come to realize I'm not so good as the voice of the Lord. I have now assumed the role of the prophet. God is good. The bottom line is this. In John's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 3 and 4, the writer talks about the sheep knowing the voice of their shepherd. You see, at night, several shepherds brought their sheep into one big pen. It was the safety in numbers kind of an idea. When morning broke, the shepherds would open the pen and call each of his own sheep to greener pastures. Here's how the Word of God reads. The sheep hear his voice as the shepherd calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has driven out all of his own, he walks ahead of them, and the sheep follow him. Why? Because they recognize the voice of the shepherd. In order to know the shepherd's voice, the sheep need to know him. May you, as you grow in your faith, as you practice what it means to be in relationship with your Heavenly Father, may you begin to identify his voice and follow him. Amen. Stand with me as we sing together, "Open My Eyes, Lord, We Want to See Jesus."